Welcome to the Gathering at Meadowview with Doug Messer, a church focused on biblical truth through scriptural teaching. I hope you enjoy the message today.
Today, just in this brief time together, I want us to focus on the thrill of Christ. The thrill of Christ in our life. There was a man who wrote a book, and he entitled it The Thrill of the Chase. And in this book, he wrote a poem. And he was an art collector and had done well in different businesses and things and become a millionaire. And he was tired after he had cancer and he recovered from cancer. He was tired that people weren't experiencing life. And he saw kids on video games all the time and people at home watching TV. So he took millions of dollars of gold and coins and treasures and some things of antiquity, and he put it in a little brass box and he hid it somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. People believe that first it was covering maybe four states, and then he wrote a poem. And in this poem, it had clues to where he buried the treasure. And it was real. This happened, I think it was in 2000 that he did this. And his name was Forrest Fenn. People sold everything they had to go and find this treasure, to take and meticulously look at this poem and apply the things to their life and search and find where this treasure was at. Five people died in the pursuit of this. There were several people who were rescued by helicopters out of the Rocky Mountains. There were camps that were set up where whole groups of people would come and camp for months at a time, and all of them would put their effort together and look at this poem. They memorized, many of them memorized this poem, and they'd look at every detail of this poem and try to find clues to where this treasure was. It was difficult, and they gave all to find this treasure. I'm going to read for you just a little bit of his poem. This is a poem that, again, that people memorized, that people held to, and people believed in. As I have gone alone in there with a treasure bold, I can keep my secret where the hint of riches new and old. Begin where it's warm, where the waters start, and take in the canyon down, not far, but not too far of a walk. Put in below the home of the brown. From there there's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawn nigh. There'll be no paddle in the creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down. You're a guest of the ceasing treasure. But tarry, scant, and marvel gaze, just as a chest, and go in peace as you find it. Wow, there it is. Memorized it, applied it to their life, focused on it. I want to find the treasure. I know that took a lot of time, and that didn't seem like anything biblical, but there's great application of this because I have a treasure map I want to share with you. This isn't a treasure map of getting saved. I'm going to assume today that most all of you have asked the Lord in your life, you are Christians. But the quest and the pursuit of Christ in our life, and that you could find everything that this gold and silver and all of it and beyond what it would provide in your life. If you were to come upon the treasure, suppose those little clues that were there about a river, about a canyon, going by brown, whatever that was, and you were able to find this, and there was a medical student who did find the treasure. He did find it. At first, he didn't want to be disclosed his identity, but later on, he came to Mr. Fenn, and he said where he found it, and they identified it, and he showed him what he had found, and he did find it. Suppose you found it. The belief in your mind would be, this gold and silver is going to take care of all the problems in my life. The other thing is you would probably think, and the reason you would pursue it is there'll be a security now in my life. Maybe if I had medical problems or something, this would help take care of the medical problems. And I'll be well known. I'll be on talk shows. People will know who I am. They'll want to talk to me. I'll go in the store and people will say, "That's the guy who found the treasure." I have a treasure map. I have something I want to share with you today in a very familiar passage. And it's so familiar, some of these verses, that you would look over it and you wouldn't realize that in these verses there is a treasure, and it even says that it's better than gold or silver. And it will give you everything that the pursuit of that treasure would be. Beyond that, you could gain in just these few verses, and there's five things, but what it says that you have to do something to gain each of these places. They're like landmarks. And to gain this landmark in our pursuit of Christ, God in our life, you have to do something. Well, to find that gold, you had to do something. There were families that committed their vacations for years of going out in the Rocky Mountains, picking up this poem, taking little clues, going along, camping in the woods, and looking for this treasure. And as I said, eventually it was found. But beyond that treasure, beyond what they think it would provide, there's a pursuit of God that is worth more. A very familiar passage. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. There are people here in church who tell me that as they do their devotions, they read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Because there are 31 chapters, they read one, they go through Proverbs almost every month, and they enjoy going through Proverbs because it's a book of wisdom. It's a book of finding God and wisdom that he gives to us and being able to live in this life and gain security, health, long life, strength. It says that in these verses right here. It says that you would gain all of those things. If there's some things that you do in your life, God will do this in your life and give the encouragement to you. Proverbs chapter 3. And as Proverbs chapter 3 starts, it has an introduction section. Then, very quickly, there's five different things that he tells you to do. And in doing it, I mean, it is like transforming of your life. It is a treasure from God. It's better than gold or silver. I've never figured this out. If you made gold into a little pill and took it, would it cure things in you? Would it do anything? If you sprinkled a little bit in your coffee, a little gold dust, would it help you feel better that day? Would in any way it improve your life? And in any way would it show you comfort or strength or peace? No. Just one day somebody woke up and said, "You know what? Gold is valuable." That's all that happened. It's worth nothing. It does nothing to you. It helps in no way at all. But the things that are shared in this treasure map right here in our pursuit of God is transforming. And by doing something, this will occur. And this isn't me, and this isn't any misinterpretation. And I don't have to relate these verses with another one to get the context of it. It just states it, this will happen if you do this. Here is the introduction verse in chapter 3. My child, this is Solomon. And it's said that he wrote this to his sons. Great wisdom I'm going to share with you. In fact, the gift that God gave to Solomon when he became the king of Israel was that he would allow him to be the wisest man who ever lived. He knew of this. He knew of how to live life, how God wants us to live life, and the outcome of our living life this way. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. One of the things, again, that people would pursue in looking for this treasure is, I'm going to be satisfied now. I mean, I'll be complete. I'll have everything that I searched for. I'll be settled. I'll be comfortable. I will find this little brass box and I'll open it up, and there's going to be big gold nuggets in it. There's going to be coins of gold and silver, pieces of antiquity that may even be priceless, all in this, and I'll be satisfied. That's the guise that they believed. But right here in this verse, he says, you know, the wisdom I'm going to share with you right now is something that will bring satisfaction to your life. Then this is the wisdom that he shares. The first one is found in verse 3. He says, if you want my blessing, you want my work, if you want to find peace in this world, never let loyalty or kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. Remember, we said that one of the things that some people would probably desire is that everybody would know that I found the treasure. Right here in this verse, it says, if loyalty is something that you live by, loyalty and also kindness towards others, God will work. People will notice it. You would be recognized. Your life will be enhanced. It will be strengthened. Just loyalty. What do you mean loyalty? Have you ever heard anybody say, I got your back? I got your back. Don't worry. What do you mean? I'm behind you. You mean like if you went into a conversation and I wasn't there, you would stand up for me?
Yeah.
If you went into a conversation and God's name was defamed, you would stand up for him and you would say who he is?
Yes.
That you're loyal. I have a dog that's loyal. I fail at loyalty sometimes. I can go up to this dog and say, come here. And he'll come up and jump all over me with his muddy paws. He is loyal. He'll come. He'll do what he's supposed to. He's my dog. He's loyal. And God wants us to be loyal to him, be loyal to our brothers and sisters in Christ around us, that we're loyal. We're the same. It doesn't matter if our phone was on or not, or the conversation that was heard, or what somebody said about, we're loyal. And then he tells us that we'd be people who reach out towards other people. You know, sometimes we box people up. We see somebody sitting in front of Walmart and we say that they have a problem. And they look up at us, maybe expecting to get something from us. We look down and walk by. Or there are people who are hurting, whether it's physical or challenges that they're going through in their life. And do we show comfort? Do we show compassion? Do we show love towards them? He said, if we would show this, if we would let God come out of our life, if we would make a commitment from this day on, I'm loyal. I'm loyal to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm loyal to God. I'm loyal to him. I stand for him. I don't let his name be run down. I don't allow people in my presence to say he doesn't exist, he isn't there, without living it in front of them. I'm loyal to God. And he says, this will happen in your life. Look what will happen. It says, you'll find favor with God and people. You'll have a good reputation. We all desire that. It's something in us. He put it in there that they would see God in us. My pursuit, my focus on God, my chasing after him. Look at one verse with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians 1:4, a New Testament verse, or you can listen as I read this verse. 2 Corinthians, and we look at verse 1 and 4. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled, and we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Because God has comforted us, we comfort others. Number two, this is the verse that we all know, the two verses that we all know in finding direction in our life. How awesome it would be in finding this treasure from God that we're able to know which way to go, what to do, how to make decisions, not to make wrong steps, not to go in places that we have to apologize for constantly, but we're going in the right direction. How can that happen in my life? This is more valuable than gold. This is more valuable than any wealth that could be given to you, that in your life you find direction and you go in the right way and you make right choices in your life. Well, how do I do it? What do I have to do in this pursuit of God for that to happen? Listen, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek him in everything you do, and he will show you the path to take. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So all I have to do is wake up each day. I trust you, God. I'm not going to try figuring this all out. I can't do it, because when I try doing it, it doesn't work real good for me. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go the places you want me to go. I want to talk to the people you want me to talk to. I want to be in the places that honor you. I'm just going to trust you that wherever I step, it will be the place that you want me to step. The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord, Scripture tells us. I could go in his direction. He will open the door. He will direct us. As a younger person, something that I used to do a lot is I'd just take off and go. I would hitchhike a couple of times from Georgia to New York. I would sometimes just in a whim go somewhere and do things without any planning. It kind of frustrated Jana a little bit in vacations, because did you get motel reservations? Nope. Where are we going? That way. It is the most amazing fun that you could ever have. If you're somebody who has to plot everything out, just kind of like go like this, and okay, we're going to get in the car and we're just going to take a trip. Just drive down the road. And it is amazing sometimes how doors open up, people that you meet, places that you go, things that happen in your life. Nothing, you didn't do it. He did it. I'm not telling you you have to do that, but in life you do. God, I'm just going out today. You show me what you want me to do. You show me where to go, who to talk to, places to be. I'm trusting in you. And it shares with us that if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on your own understandings, and all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. He'll show you where to go. Wow. So I don't have to go out in the Rocky Mountains and find a little brass box and find, no, right here it is. And he'll show you exactly what to do in your life. That is amazing. You know what? To me, that's worth more than gold. Look at number three. This is God saying this. And it shares with us some impressive things. And he said it. I can't back it up. I can't say this is how it is. I can't answer the but what ifs. If you would, look with me, if you will, at verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear God, turn away from evil, then you will have healing in your body and strength in your bones. Health. That's what he said. You can have healing in your body, strength in your bones. If I do what? If you don't try to impress yourself with your own wisdom, and if you fear God and turn away from evil. Turning away from evil. I saw a sign and it said, destroy what is destroying you. I don't think that's in the Bible, but the focus of it is. God, destroy what is destroying me, the evil, the way I think about things, the things that I pursue after, the appeasing of myself, self-gratification, focuses that I want, selfishness, intentions to build myself up. Put it all away. Destroy what is destroying you. God, would you destroy the things that are tearing me down and ruining my life and holding me back and depriving me of all that you want to do in me? This is better than gold. And what will he do? Give us health. It's what was just said there is medically proven. You can become so consumed by some things in our lives that it physically destroys you. And he tells us right here, fear God. Fear him. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm terrified. I don't want to come close. It's a respect and honor of who he is and the power of who God is, what he accomplishes, what he has created, what he has done. I would fear to disappoint. I would fear to pull his name down, as we talked about in loyalty. I would fear in anything that would displease him in my life, and I avoid evil, destroy what is destroying me, God, and build me up before you. And it says health comes to you. He said it. I didn't say it. I can't say anything about it. I can't answer any questions about it. All I can say is this is what he said. Okay, God, you know, I'm having a problem with this. And the way I focus on things and the things that I do or the things that I see or the things that I say or the way that I speak, I'm giving it all to you. I see who you are. I look out there and I see the clouds and the blue sky peeking through and the trees that are ready to bud and the green that is just starting to come in the pasture and Princess Buttercup ready to give the miracle of birth. And I'm amazed by you. I don't want to displease you with my life. I want to honor and glorify you in all that I do and say. And God works. It says it gives healing to our bones. He works within us. Number 4, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Honor the Lord. This is something else again. Remember, we sold everything that we had to go live in a camp in the Rocky Mountains to pursue a little brass box. Honor the Lord with your wealth, all that he has given. The focus in the New Testament is we give unto the Lord hilariously, is a word that is used in the Greek, which is kind of like without restraint. You know, we give in church, we do different things, whatever. I give towards people. I give towards ministries. I give towards things he tells me to give towards. And he says he will fill your barns. In other words, he'll provide for you. If this isn't the Lord that captures my heart, it isn't what you got. It isn't the things that you have. It's all God's. And he says, honor. So what would have to happen is I don't do this by just kind of trying to think of how or whatever. I just come into a place in a relationship with God and I say, as you move upon me, I'll do what you tell me to do with your money. I will honor you with it. I'll give towards what you want me to give towards. I will bless people who you want me to bless with. And I don't want my name exalted. I don't want people to know. I don't want any part of me. I'll just do what you tell me to do with what you have given. And he says, you know what? This is the second place in the Bible that it talks this way. I'll fill up your barn. He also, through a minor prophet, told us to give to the Lord. And when we do, our storehouse will be filled. All that we need, all that we're taking care of, that our focus isn't on monetary. Our focus is on how God can use this in the investment of his kingdom. And here's the last one. It says in verse 11, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. These are all clues to this pursuit in God. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So it isn't going real good right now. not in a good place, not feeling this, not where I was. Maybe I feel like something was taken away from me. I had this, and now it's taken away from me. And then we come to this moment that we reflect and we say, do you think God might be doing something? Do you think God might be directing me towards a place, a position, a focus on Him? Do you think that God will be turning things around in my life and He's wanting to, maybe this is God's discipline and I surrender to it, I move to it, I allow Him to work in my life. I'm just going to let this happen. God, I love you. Chuck was telling me today, and I've thought about this too. Sometimes, you know, we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes all the focus, we never say the name Holy Spirit. We don't think about the Father's interaction into our life. Sometimes it's stopping and saying, Holy Spirit, I love you. God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love the person and the work of Jesus in my life. I love how the Holy Spirit comforts and works in me. I accept your love. And Father, maybe it ought to be, instead of saying Jesus loves me, this I know, it should be Father loves me. The Father so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. I love you, God. I love you for who you are. And if you have to discipline me and correct me, you do it. I surrender to you. I want to be truthful and not lie to myself and to you. I surrender to you, God. And then it ends with this. So just let me quickly recap that we first would stand up and we would show loyalty. Next, we seek direction from God because we're trusting in Him. Next, we see healing in our body because we're not carrying it anymore. We allow God to carry everything. We prosper in our life, even monetarily, because we say everything I own is God's and He blesses. And we fall in love with God. If all this is happening in us, listen how He closes out this section of this treasure map. Verse 13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. There it is, treasure map. This is how to live life with the Lord in our pursuit of God in our life and our focus on Him. Just some simple little things. I got to do something. There's something I have to do, a commitment that I make towards Him. And he gives me physical ability. He gives me healing. He gives me strength. He gives me a focus in my life. He disciplines me, and it causes me to know that He truly does love me in my life. Just simple things. These aren't hard things. I don't have to go in the Rocky Mountains and slip down the cliff. I just come before God, and I pray to Him, and I ask Him to work in my life. And He leads us and guides us and moves in our life in awesome ways.
Thank you for listening. Join us here in person at the Gathering in Meadowview in Rogersville, Tennessee, or join us next week right here on the Dig Bible Podcast.